There comes a time in your life when you finally get it. When, in the midst of all your fears and insanity, you stop dead in your tracks and somewhere a voice inside your head cries out, "Enough!" And you begin to look at the world from a new perspective. This is your awakening. Then you learn about money, the personal power and independence it brings and the options it creates, and you recognize the necessity to create your own personal wealth. Slowly you begin to take responsibility for yourself, by yourself, and to make yourself a promise to never betray yourself and to never settle for less than your heart's desire. And a sense of power is born of self-reliance, and you live with honor and integrity because you know that these principles are not the outdated ideals of a bygone era, but the mortar that holds together the foundation upon which you must build your life. And you make it a point to keep smiling, to keep trusting, and to stay open to every wonderful opportunity and exciting possibility. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Thank you for joining me here on the Mad Money Machine, show number 123 for 8808, as we awaken to the truth in the marketplace of ideas. The Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Coming up later in the show, the Learning Earnings segment takes a look at what's the difference in risk between owning an individual stock and owning a basket of index funds.
Mad Money Machine, named by Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine as one of the must-read blogs.
The cover art for this week's show is a sculpture called The Awakening, which had been in Washington, D.C. at Haynes Point for 27 years or so. I got a chance to see it there. And that's where the picture is taken, by the way. But recently it was moved to the new National Harbor, which is on the Maryland side of the Potomac, just south of Washington, D.C., across the Potomac River. And it depicts the form of a man emerging from the earth, waking up. I want to go through some things that we all together have woken up to recently. There are a number of stories and sayings that talk about waking up. There's the story of the emperor has no clothes, for example. Everyone goes along with the ruler in observing what a fine suit he's wearing, except for the one who has woken up. There's the saying, pulled the wool over his eyes. Do you know where that comes from? The wool was once slang for hair and synonymous with the powdered wigs worn by gentlemen several centuries ago. The most powerful ones with the most elaborate hairstyles became our first big wigs. It was then no simple task for a big wig to take an innocent stroll down a city street with young hooligans lurking around every corner. As a malicious act, a joke, or for purpose of thievery, they would often pull the wig, or the wool, down over the gentleman's eyes, enabling them to make off with his purse in the process. This was similar to hoodwinking a person. To do so was literally to cover his eyes with a hood or other covering to obscure his vision. Figuratively, it came to mean blindfolding someone mentally in order to prevent him from seeing the truth. Another popular story, about 100 years ago, is the Great Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And more recently, The Matrix. You can take the blue pill, stay here and believe whatever you want to believe, or you can take the red pill and see how deep the rabbit hole goes. Now, when we our children, we come to the point where we learn the story of Santa Claus, of Saint Nicholas. I think the process continues through adulthood, doesn't it? I know that in the past year alone, I've learned many stories that I have become awakened to. For example, who was the first president of the United States? If you said George Washington, you don't have the complete story. Go look up Samuel Huntington in Wikipedia. Another example, is buying individual stocks a good way to invest? As we've become awakened to, we learn that no, indeed. There's no good reason to buy individual stocks for your long-term investments. Much better off to buy and hold index funds for the long term. What about money? We learn that Federal Reserve notes are fiat money, and as they keep printing more of them, that is the cause of inflation. Real money, it turns out, is actually a precious metal, either gold or silver. What about politics? We learn that the two major parties, Democrat and Republican, are just two sides of the same spending coin. The one party spends uncontrollably on one set of things, the other party spends uncontrollably on the other set of things. And we're awakening to the fact that there is a large group of people who believe the government has gotten much, much too big. What about the major media? We've long had a distrust of the major media, especially now that we can read the raw news straight from the internet. How about awakening to freedom versus security? The example that touches most of us most directly is the security process that we have to go through to get on an airplane. What is the pain that we as a group have experienced versus the gain? I would say it's been an awful lot of pain relative to very little gain there. What about the United States as a great democracy? Well, it turns out it's not a democracy, it's a republic. We elect people to represent the rest of the people. And finally, what about returns on your investment? It's not just returns that we should be looking at. We should be looking at the risk of the investment. Anyone who seeks a higher return necessarily seeks higher risk. We've got a lot of waking up to do. Let's get started.
It is true what many of you have heard. The machines have gathered an army, and as I speak, that army is drawing nearer to our home. Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us, but if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here before you now, truthfully, unafraid. Why? Because I believe something you do not? No! I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. I remember that for 100 years they have sent their armies to destroy us. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us send a message to that army. Tonight, let us shake this cave. Tonight, let us tremble these halls of earth, steel and stone. Let us be heard from red tar to black sky. Tonight, let us make them remember. This is Zion, and we are not afraid!
Let's take a look at the Portfolio Smackdown, the lazy Portfolio Smackdown. MadMoneyMachine.com/portfolios. Beginning of the year, we asked people to construct a lazy portfolio that they thought would have the highest return versus risk for the year 2008. And I'm going to give you results now through the end of July. Of the professionals, the Harry Brown permanent portfolio is flat. It's down just 0.1% through July. The Scott Burns Six Ways from Sunday portfolio is down 3.1% year-to-date. Scott Burns Five-Fold portfolio and the Couch Potato portfolio are next at down 3.3% and down 3.5%. Bringing up the rear is the Wisdom Tree portfolio, down 14.8%. And just slightly better than that is my own portfolio of do-it-yourself ETFs, down 11.8%. Now, the competitors in the game, Mud Fud is back on top at 5.2% gain year to date. Then Tex Williams 4.9%, Quasimodo 2.2%. What I'm not giving you, of course, here is any of the Sharpe ratios on these. I'm going to have to enter these all back into FolioDex at some point in order to have them help me calculate the Sharpe ratios of these portfolios. The Sharpe ratios would show just how much risk each portfolio undertook throughout the year for the amount of return that it got. The idea is we want to get the highest return for least amount of risk. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. I just recently became aware of a website that's really interesting for us interested in money. It's full of all kinds of charts that measure the prices of things in gold. And the website is called PricedInGold.com. Just go to PricedInGold.com. And you can see on the right-hand side there a list of various types of charts that you can look at that prices things in terms of gold. For example, click on crude oil, and it will show how many grams of gold it takes to buy a barrel of oil. Currently, it's just over about 4 grams of gold. You can also see charts on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, priced in gold, as well as the Nikkei. There's an interesting chart about U.S. home prices, priced in gold, the U.S. average home price, according to the Case-Shiller Home Price Index. It's interesting to note that between, say, 1985 and 1995, that the average or the median home price was roughly between 5,000 and 8,000 grams of gold. Then in 2001, as home prices peaked, it went up to about double of that. It took 16,000 grams of gold for the median home price. Now it's back down to 8,000 grams of gold. And a very sad looking chart is the average hourly earnings of U.S. production workers in grams of gold. After a recent peak in 2001 at just above 1.5 grams of gold per hour, today it's just about 0.6 grams of gold per hour. And interestingly, there's also a U.S. dollar chart in milligrams of gold. Since 2001, it's been going steadily down. PricedInGold.com is our tool in the crib this week, and like other tools I've given you so far, this one is free. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money. Now give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. The FDIC is my bank account safe count is standing at 4, up from 3 last week. Got an email from Chris regarding last week's show about the 4 things that are on every coin. I mentioned the date and E Pluribus Unum, In God We Trust, and Liberty as the 4 things. Then I said, well, maybe there's a head on every coin, so that's probably true. That would be 5 things. Chris says United States of America is on every coin, too. So that's 6 things. So I mentioned how the first United States president was Samuel Huntington. He was president under the Articles of Confederation. That's before the ratification of the Constitution and George Washington becoming president under that system. One thing I think we haven't been taught very well in our public schooling is, what is the United States Constitution? And I might be talking about this a little bit more as we get on. There are some things about money in the Constitution that certainly apply to this show, and there are some things about liberty that are in the Constitution that apply to our financial freedom, I do believe. Well, the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the United States of America. It provides the framework for the organization of the United States government. It defines three main branches of government: the legislative branch, with a bicameral Congress, the Congress and Senate, an executive branch led by the president, and a judicial branch headed by the Supreme Court. Besides providing for the organization of these three branches, the Constitution carefully outlines which powers each branch may exercise. It also reserves numerous rights for the individual states, thereby establishing the United States federal system of government. And what year was the Constitution adopted? 1787. And what was the date? It was in September 17th by the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. How many times has it been amended so far, do you think? 27 is the right answer. The first 10 of these amendments are known as the Bill of Rights. The Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union was actually the first Constitution of the United States of America. The U.S. Constitution replaced the Articles of Confederation as the governing document for the United States and transformed the constitutional basis of government from Confederation to Federation, also making it the world's oldest federal constitution. The Constitution consists of a preamble, 7 original articles, and those 27 amendments. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and that's your Constitutional Minute. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Men Machine Show 123 is Walter Block. Walter Block, born 21st of August 1941, is a free market economist and anarcho-capitalist associated with the Austrian school. And where I just learned of Walter Block is from one of the Lou Rockwell podcasts that he was just produced in within the last week or so. In it, Walter Block talks about the non-aggression axiom. And I'll have a link directly to that podcast in the show notes of show 123. I encourage you to download it and take a listen. He talks about the non-aggression axiom that holds that aggression, which is defined as the initiation of physical force and threat of such, or fraud upon persons or their property, is inherently illegitimate. But the principle does not preclude defense against aggression. The non-aggression axiom typically includes property as a part of the owner. To aggress against someone's property is to aggress against the individual. The other thing that Walter Block talks about in the podcast is his conversion after he met Murray Rothbard from minarchism, or men anarchism, to anarcho-capitalism. And I'll explain. He says minarchism, or men anarchism, I can't remember which way it's pronounced, holds that the government is justified in doing three things: protecting us from aggressive foreigners, protecting us in our localities with police, and providing a court system. And Block says, after I met Murray, it took him probably all of 15 minutes to convert me to the same anarcho-capitalist position I have held ever since. And anarcho-capitalism is defined as a political philosophy that advocates the elimination of the state, and the provisions of security from aggression against person and property by the private sector in a free market. In an anarcho-capitalist society, law enforcement, courts, national defense, and all other security services would be provided by voluntarily funded competitors rather than through compulsory taxation. Non-intrusive personal and economic activities would not be regulated because the natural laws of the market, rather than politics, would order society. Well, now there's something to wake up to: anarcho-capitalism. Congratulations, Walter Block. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show 123.
Hello, I just had a quick question. I was wondering what your stance was on investing in a retirement account or in a non-retirement account and versus paying off your house early. So just curious to see what your thoughts are. Love the show.
That's probably one of the most frequently asked questions in personal finance, don't you think? I know I've wondered about this myself, you know, whether to pay off the mortgage or whether to keep the money and do something else with it. It boils down to a board game-like situation where you have to weigh the variables, you have to weigh your beliefs and assumptions. If you believe that inflation is going to run hot in the upcoming years, then it's better off not to pay off the loan. Pay it off with cheap dollars later. And if you believe you can invest it and make more return, then it's better to do that as well. Otherwise, if you hate having a loan, then go ahead and pay it off. In this week's Learning Earnings segment, sponsored by Index Funds Advisors, I want to take you through a concept of the distribution of rolling returns. Information from this Learning Earnings segment comes from the IFA.com website and from the book Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors by Mark Hebner. I'm going to point you to figures 8, 11, and figures 8A, 8B, 8C, 8D, and 8E. First of all, in 8, 11, this is a chart of risk on the x-axis and return on the y-axis that we're used to seeing from sites, for example, like foliodex.com. And it shows you that the expected risk or uncertainty of one small value stock is about 75%, way out to the right hand side of the graph. Well, the expected uncertainty or standard deviation of a small value index is about 30%. And guess what? The expected return is about the same, just above 14% annualized. And look at large value stocks. One particular stock, the risk is about 65%, but the index of large value stocks, the risk is about 26%. So for every index on this chart, if you go way out to the right and plot it at the same return point, you have the risk for one particular stock within that index. This is amazing to look at. And the next few charts, figure 8A, B, C, and D, and E, show a distribution graphic of the one-year rolling returns for individual stocks versus Index Portfolio 100. And they look at stocks such as IBM, General Motors, Walt Disney, General Electric, and basically what you'll notice from these graphics is that the spread of annual returns or one-year rolling periods for each of these four different stocks is much wider than the Index Portfolio 100. Again, the idea here is that for much less risk, the massively diversified portfolio has given about the same annualized return. I will show these charts in the show notes for show 123, as well as have links to their source out at IFA.com. I think if you can grasp the meaning of these charts, it'll help make you a better investor. Learning, earning. Earn our way to financial freedom with the help of Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. I encourage you to call them up and sign up for an account with them. Let them help you manage your financial freedom.
Out.
I'm so glad you could join me this week on the Mad Money Machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes awakening to make a Mad Money Machine. I might see you next Friday. There are three more Fridays in August, and I want to do two more shows. I want to do four shows in August. So I'm not sure exactly. Maybe I won't do shows on Fridays. Maybe I'll do them on a Wednesday or something. I'm not sure. Just keep subscribed, and as I put one out, it will pop up in your iTunes. Thank you very much. Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at ifa.com. Index Funds Advisors, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. I appreciate your feedback. Emailed to me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. I'd like the voicemail line. Call in 206-734-4763. Sign up to read my occasional postings at twitter.com/madmoneymachine. I'll see you on show 124. Stay invested in these risky markets.